Hello and welcome once again. This is Mike Moody, and I'm glad to be with you as we're studying the book of Psalms. And we're picking selected Psalms, as there are some 150 Psalms to be studied. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you, and we are in the presence of the most holy and righteous one. And we are thankful that we can know you in a personal way through thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we know that we that are born dead in trespasses and sins are not deserving of any such privilege. But Father, we thank you that the one who knew no sin was made sin for us. We thank you for the Lord Jesus. We pray in Christ's name that we might lift up his name in the study of the Psalms. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we're in the book of Psalms, and today we'd like to look at it in a little different avenue. Instead of picking one specific psalm, we'd like to turn to the New Testament to begin with, and we're going to work back to the Old Testament. What we see here, as the Scripture tells us in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And then in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So we may begin with these two New Testament passages and ask the question, what has this to do with the study of the book of Psalms? Well, we see here these two passages that we read in the New Testament show us of how this Word of God is from God, and it is infallible. And yet, one of the ways to prove, you might say, the authenticity, the reality, and the infallibility of the Word of God is by the prophecy therein. You can take the book of Psalms, as we'd like to do today, and compare it with those things that happened to the Lord Jesus when he was here upon this earth. And we can see, as we're going to look at the book of Matthew primarily today, in connection with Psalms, and look at the fulfilled scriptures that the Word of God in Psalms pointed out to mankind that was fulfilled in the person of the Lord Jesus. And in the Gospel of Matthew, we see, for example, turn with me to chapter 3 of Matthew and turn to verse 17. Let's back up to 16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Well, you know, that last little quote there, speaking of the beloved Son, the Father spoke of, in whom he was well pleased, is a quote from Psalm chapter 2, in verse 7, it says, I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee. So we see here the Father declares. Now turn to Matthew in chapter 21, and we're going to pick up around verse 15. Turn with me if you have the Word of God before you. Here it says, and when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. They were sore displeased and said unto him, hearest thou what these say? And Jesus said unto them, yea, have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise? So here the Lord Jesus is quoting from the Psalms, speaking here of how these children are praising him. And in the book of Psalms, chapter 8, verse 2, it says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mayest still the enemy and the avenger. We see here the sanction of the Word of God by the children praising. Turn again in Matthew 21, this time to verse 33. We're going to pick up here, and it speaks, as the Lord says, hear another parable. The Lord spoke in parables much of the time in a portion of his ministry here upon the earth as he's going toward that cross. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a winepress in it and built a tower and led it out to husbandmen, and went into a far country. And when the time of the first fruit of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen, that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandmen took of his servants and beat one, and killed another, and stoned another. Again he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. Verse 37, but last of all he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him, and cast him out of the vineyard, and slew him. Verse 40, when the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? They say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men, and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their season. 42, Jesus said unto them, did ye never read the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. So we see here a quote again from Psalms. The Lord Jesus used this parable, speaking of himself, as the Father would send the Son, and ones that were there in his midst would kill him, would try to do away with him, yet the Father would come and destroy them. And the Lord Jesus then referred to the Psalms. If we could go back to Psalm 118 and verse 22, the scripture says, the stone which the builders refused, it has become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Praise be to God. Here we see the sanction of the Word of God by this parable and the prophetic utterance of the rejection of the Lord Jesus. This one that has been rejected, has been cast away, if you will, which is now the head of the corner. The Scripture tells us as we go into Ephesians such as that, that Christ is the head. We see also in other places in the New Testament that he is the head of the body, the head of the church, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Colossians chapter 1. So we also could turn back to Matthew after we've seen here the sanction of the Word of God by the Father and by these children and by this parable. Let's turn to Matthew 24 and see another prophecy brought forth. Matthew 22 and verse 44. Here we see, if you back up to verse 41, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They said unto him, the son of David. He said unto them, how then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son? My, what a wonderful passage. We see many times when ones would try to put the Lord Jesus in a spot to where they could accuse him and then stone him. Yet he would come back with a question that they could not answer. He's asking here, how could David speak of the Lord as his Lord and also his son? The very answer of that is, of course, that physically speaking, in the line of a king, Christ came in the line of David. Yet, because Christ is the one that is called the Word of God, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, the Eternal One, the All-Existing One, the Jehovah of the Old Testament, Christ of the New Testament, this is the one that David would say also was his Lord. We see that the promised Messiah would come in the line of David, so he would say that his son, in that sense, would be the Lord. But yet he would have to call him Lord, for he's the Eternal One, God manifest in the flesh. And back in Psalm 110, we see in verse 1, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand, until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The very scripture that we read in Matthew 22, and we see how he used that to bring forth this wonderful point. of David and the Lord Jesus. If you go with me back to Matthew this time, let's turn to chapter 27. We're moving quickly to the end of the book. And as we're in Matthew 27 now and 34, we see here, upon the cross, when they were coming to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall, and when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. Turn with me back to Psalms, as we see more of what we call the Messianic Psalms. Messianic Psalms, speaking of the Messiah. Back in Psalm 69, this time we're going to look at verse 21. Let's back up here to verse 19. Thou hast known my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. Mine adversaries are all before me. Thee, reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. And I looked for some to take pity, but there was none. And for comforters, but I found none. Verse 21, they gave me also gall for my meat. And in my thirst, they gave me vinegar to drink. The Psalms, 1,000 years before the crucifixion of the Messiah, pointed out the very details of this crucifixion of the very Lord of glory. As we saw in Matthew 27, yes, they did give him vinegar to drink. Back in Matthew 27, the next couple of verses, 35 and 36, and they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation, written, this is the King of the Jews. So we see here, if we were to go back to the Psalm number 22 this time, Psalm 22, another Messianic Psalm, and look at verse 18. They parted my garments among them, and cast lots upon my vesture. Amazing, isn't it? If there's any doubt in your mind of the legitimacy of the Word of God, look at these prophecies as given of the Lord Jesus in the book of Psalms, and then fulfilled 1,000 years later, as we read in the Gospels, upon that crucifixion and the things leading up to the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus. Could we go back to Matthew 27 in verse 46? In about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, this is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Here we see of how the very Son, the one who would refuse to work independent of the Father, the triune Godhead, the one God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Here, what an amazing cry. Why hast thou forsaken me? Well, we see it's because of the sin of the world. The one who you know sin was made sin for us. 3 hours of darkness. The only time that we would see such a situation between the Father and the Son in the light of eternity. But we then would see in 22 and 1 of Psalms, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Again, the sufferings of Christ. We see here great fulfillment. For time's sake, I'll quickly go through the next couple. There was also one in Psalm 22 and verse 7 and 8. He trusteth on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighteth in him. Again, if you turn to Matthew 27 and verse 39, we see that mocking of how they wagged their heads and said, thou hast destroyed the temple and buildest it in 3 days. Save thyself. We see the connection there. And then in Matthew 28 and 7, we see here the resurrection. Verse 6, he is not here, for he is risen, as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. Back in the Psalms one more time. We're going to look at chapter 16 and verse 10. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. The very acceptance we see, the sanction of the Word of God by the acceptance of this death in the resurrection. What a sanction upon the Word of God when we see fulfilled prophecy from the book of Psalms into the book of Matthew we've seen today. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Join us tomorrow with the Two Roads and Two Destinies.